It's time for Grilling at the Green. Join Jeff Tracy as he explores the golfing lifestyle and tries to keep it in the short grass for the Hackers, Dew Sweepers, and Turf Spankers. Here's Jeff.
Just open up the door and let's take good times in. Tomorrow's gonna be better than today.
Everybody, welcome to Grilling at the Green here on AM 860. The Answer, WEEU in Pennsylvania and the Golf News Network, along with other various platforms and RSS feeds. And we're out there. You can find us. It's not that hard. I'm your host, JT. And do you ever think how tough it is to do stand-ups on television? Well, we're going to find out that and a lot more. We've got Lisa Cornwell, formerly of Golf Channel, and she was a pretty good golfer in her own right in her collegiate days and still is. Lisa's going to be joining us here in a minute. And this segment of Grilling at the Green is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended, and Ben Hogan Golf. Check out Ben Hogan Golf online at benhogangolf.com. New club selections and factory direct sales right to you. That's benhogangolf.com. Okay, somebody I've wanted to talk to for a long time, Lisa Cornwell, is with us. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Glad to be with you.
Well, it's really, really kind of an honor to talk to you. So,
not many people say that. Not these days. My mom still says it, so that's, I guess that's what matters. My dad.
Yeah. Well, moms and dads, they always say that stuff too, but it counts.
That's right.
It counts. It counts. Before we get into your work at Golf Channel and stuff, give us a little background. Were you always interested in golf? Did you play as a kid? I know you played in school. Give us the thumbnail on that, please.
Yeah, I started, like a lot of people, started playing really early. I was 5 years old, I think, when I really first swung a real golf club. I was lucky because my parents were members of a small club in our hometown of Fayetteville, Arkansas, and they had this great junior golf program, and I just fell in love with it. I mean, you hear so many different stories about kids who grew up playing competitively, and I think that once you really get into it, the game just sort of takes a hold of you, and that's what it did for me. I developed friendships. It was the way that I spent my summers. I was there from dusk until dawn. I mean, I remember getting cars and putting the headlights on the putting green so we could stay and putt and have putting contests. So definitely not a typical childhood, but typical for a lot of kids who grew up playing competitive golf. I have so many great memories and friends who I still keep in touch with. Both, you know, when I played at my course growing up, to on the AJGA Tour, to playing in college, it's just you make some incredible friendships, and I'm so blessed and fortunate to have the game in my life.
It's the worst addiction I've ever had, I think. I look at
I've had
it.
Worse, but we won't get into that.
No.
All legal, I will say.
But I, like you, I played, I think it was like in sixth or seventh grade, and I got this, found a set of clubs in our shop, and it was my brother's, and I don't know where he got them. The way I remember them looking, it looked like they belonged to a homeless person or something. I mean, they were pretty rough. And I started hitting balls in the pastures, and it just went from there. I was going downhill fast after that. So it was.
It happens. I get it.
Yeah. It was tough. What made you jump into like golf journalism, sports reporting? That was that your major in college, or did you have another avenue you were going to go down and then veered off and did this?
Yeah, I did have another avenue. I always thought that I'd play professional golf, and that was really all that I planned for. So when I got extremely burned out with golf in college, which I never thought would happen, I really had zero direction. I was a pre-law major in college, and no, I did not go to school for journalism. Never thought of it. Never crossed my mind. And I was out of school. I was doing just different. I was bouncing around trying to figure out what I wanted to do for a living. I tried sales. I managed a restaurant. I flipped houses, and eventually, it led me to TV through some friends who worked at the local NBC affiliate in Little Rock, and I was around that newsroom environment. And just being a competitive athlete, not golf, but I mean, I played every sport growing up, and I was a good basketball player. I mean, I missed that energy. I missed that adrenaline rush. I missed the sort of putting my nerves into check. And I felt it even watching them. You could feel a little bit of that. And so I decided to go back, even though I'd already graduated college, I decided to go back and get a minor in broadcast journalism. And I ended up interning at the station where my two friends were working. They were actually both in weather, but I ended up quitting my sales job. That was pretty good. I was making decent money for a late 20s person, and my family thought I was absolutely crazy. I went to Columbus, Mississippi, making $18,000, and I thought it was great because they were giving me a $600 clothing allowance. I thought, oh my gosh, but, I couldn't even afford the apartment where I lived. I had to borrow $10,000 from my cousin just to have a decent apartment. Yeah. But I was really fortunate. I mean, I was in a market as a sports anchor reporter in Columbus, Mississippi, that was in proximity to Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Alabama. So I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. I had zero qualifications. I was horrible in the beginning. I didn't even know how to put a rundown or a show together. I don't know how I got that minor, but, you know, you just kind of learn by getting in there and really putting your competitive juices to the test and trying to get better. And I was in Columbus, Mississippi, and Knoxville, Tennessee, and Cincinnati, Ohio. And then from there, got a good opportunity with the Big Ten Network and was there for several years and really loved it. And started my own thing. I've always been such a huge college football fan, enormous. And that was kind of at the time, right before podcasts had gotten going. And we had this idea to start this whole video show and really try to escalate it. And we were getting some traction. I mean, we had great guests. We had Paul Feinbaum. We had some really good connections with Saturday Down South. If you're not an SEC fan, that may be a bad word where this is airing, but you wouldn't know it. But it was good. But during that, and I thought, well, I'll never, you know, I'm going to do this on my own. This is great. I can live at home. I can still do some other things if I want. And I had an agent, and he called me with this golf channel opportunity. And I'd never thought that I would work in golf. I never wanted to. My love for the game really for a long time while I was working in sports television had not come back. And just that year, as I was home and sort of creating this show called SEC Press Pass, I started to play golf again and really loved it. And when he called, I thought, oh my gosh, okay. I never thought that I would want to do this, but maybe now I'm interested. And things just worked out. And I mean, so I say this all the time. It's funny because I still have some of the photos in my phone when I first started at Golf Channel. And I remember just being in awe. I remember wearing the logo and having so much pride and knowing how proud my family was and golf fans in the state of Arkansas and really being able to represent them as one of their own. And I can't believe it. It has been so long since all of that happened, but definitely had a big impact on my life.
It goes by pretty fast.
Life goes by fast.
Life goes by fast because I can remember, well, not the first time I was on TV, but the first time I went on TV to cook. And that was 20 years ago. And it seems like it was just yesterday. I can still remember what I cooked, you know, who I worked with, all that stuff. And, it just went fleeting. Boom. And all of a sudden, you know, here I am. And, it's like, wow, you know, it's been a lot of fun. Met a lot of great people and had a good time, probably like you did, but it does go by rather rapidly. We are going to take a break. We're going to be back with Lisa Cornwell here on Grilling at the Green. I suggest that you stay tuned. Don't miss it while Lisa and I step away for a second. We'll be right back.
Hello. it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet, to go over everything.
Hi everybody, it's JT and this is a special version of Grilling at the Green. Grilling at the Green is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch and it's bringing me out the dark.
Welcome back to Grilling at the Green. I'm JT, and today we're talking with Lisa Cornwell, formerly of Golf Channel, and lots of other online and on-the-air work in her career. Before we jump in with Lisa here, I'd like to thank the folks over at Gunter Wilhelm Knives for unmatched quality, comfort, and efficiency in your kitchen. Online at GunterWilhelm.com. And don't forget our folks here, if you're in the Portland area, Langdon Farms Grill every Friday night have got their specials. And they've got happy hours every day and extended happy hours, which I'm a fan of on the weekends. You can do that. If you want to email us, it's very simple. Just info@grillingatthegreen.net. Okay, let's get back and talk to Lisa some more. So your agent gives you a heads up. There's a position at Golf Channel. You go, you talk to them. I'm not familiar with your exact process, but I'm familiar with enough of the process to know, you probably kind of go do an audition. You got to send them your reel. You got to do some things like that. Maybe not all of them, but were you kind of in awe when you walked in to the studios there?
I was. I mean, I will say there was a lot of construction taking place in the building when NBC Universal bought Golf Channel. The building was outdated, and there were a lot of things that they really wanted to modernize, right, not just in terms of how it looked, but also how it functioned and operated. Because you're talking about really mostly worldwide network.
Right.
And so there were a lot of upgrades, but the studio was already finished when I was there. And sure, walking in there after watching the shows and walking into the Morning Drive studio for the first time and seeing the photo and the scissors where Mr. Palmer cut the ribbon,
sure,
to bring the studio to life. Yeah, it was all really special. And to see photos of some of the game's greats and people who I admired. I mean, there's a big old studio, leading in there, a big sort of photo wall, and Nancy Lopez is on that wall, and Lee Trevino and Annika. I mean, it's just, you sit there and sort of marvel at the fact that you're working for a network that covers the sport that I grew up playing, that I know so well exclusively. And yeah. It was intimidating, but it was also really exciting too.
So what was it like when they said, yes, we want you to work with us here? Was that kind of a, oh wow, moment, or was it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, my agent felt pretty confident that would happen. I did a couple auditions separately, went down and had the first sort of meet and greet and did an audition and then came back. And I guess that they probably interviewed a lot of different people and then brought me back down for another interview and audition and met some different folks that time. And just went back home and, I felt good about how things went, not just from the sheer fact of the audition, but I think my experience in the game obviously had a big influence in terms of the hiring, because usually when you have a host or somebody who's going to be a host and a reporter, you don't have the background in the sport that I had. That usually goes more for the analysts and people of that nature. So
right.
I did feel comfortable and confident. I wasn't 100% sure, and I wasn't going to be completely devastated if I didn't. I mean, I was happy in Little Rock and happy working on the project that we were working on. But certainly, I mean, I was thrilled and nervous about it, and all those things that sort of go with being in TV, that I think some people are really good in the fact that they don't have any internal doubts, or your head doesn't play games on you. Unfortunately, I've never been that person. So I've always got a little bit of those in demons, both not just in TV, but in athletics, any, especially golf, anything that where you're really put under the spotlight and having to deal with some of those internal battles that go with it. But the more comfortable that I got in the job, the better I think that I did. And that's what it was all about for me, just gaining sort of that comfortableness and the confidence. And it came with just with being there and being in the moment.
That can be kind of awesome. I mean, from my personal experience, when you walk in and all of a sudden you're dealing with not local, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with local, but when you know all of a sudden you're on a network and you're not going to get 15,000 sets of eyeballs looking at you, you're going to get 800,000 sets of eyeballs looking at you. You know, that at least for me, that was like, yeah, okay. You know, because yeah, I don't know, something about that when I first started doing what I do, it was like that kind of, it didn't bother me at all. But it really, I think it made me step up my game. I'll just put it that way.
It does. And I was fortunate with the Big Ten Network. I mean, even though it was regional, it was still national, depending on what,
sure,
what cable subscription you had. And so I was introduced to that a little bit and worked and got the experience of working with great analysts. So I remember being at the Big Ten Network, and I worked with so many good people there, from Jerry DiNardo on the football side to Jimmy Jackson on the basketball side. And I just remember going and sitting in the green room with a lot of these legendary former coaches and players, and how warm and happy they were just to have you in there. You could ask a question, just really sit there and talk about the games. And so I got introduced to that at the Big Ten Network and forging those relationships, which always helps with anything that you do on air. But obviously in that sport or those sports, it was a little bit different because I didn't quite have, even though I know the sports really well, I didn't have the confidence or the knowledge that I do with golf. So it was a little bit different in that way, but certainly it was a good stepping stone for me going to Golf Channel.
Oh, I think so. I mean, and you certainly, from the viewer perspective, we're going to talk about internal stuff in the next segment, but from the viewer perspective, you were well received at my house. Well, and not just because you're on the show, but I always thought your stand-ups and stuff were very concise and clear. You could tell that you knew the game inside and out, and your observations, which always, you know, interject with, and in a good way with reporting, it you know, you could tell it was good. So you had a fan in me, kiddo, I'll say that. We're gonna take a break.
Well,
here
I appreciate
that. No worries. We're gonna take a break here on Grilling at the Green, and Lisa Cornwell and I will be back right after this. Stay with us. Hey, it's JT, and this part of Grilling at the Green is brought to you in part by Ben Hogan Golf. Check them out online at benhogangolf.com. Welcome back here to Grilling at the Green, and it's at the green, not on the green. I've had people say that to me over the years. Oh, it's grilling on the green. No, you would not put a barbecue on a green. So, you know, I'm just clarifying that for people who don't understand it. I want to thank again the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, Beef the Way Nature Intended, and Ben Hogan Golf. Tour quality clubs at a factory direct price. That's benhogangolf.com. We're talking with Lisa Cornwell today, formerly of Golf Channel and lots of other television and stuff. Lisa, when I say you were at Golf Channel, you are no longer there. You kind of got caught up in a purge. Would you like to tell our audience about that?
Well, I don't think that your audience has enough time for the whole story.
That's why we do the after hours, Lisa.
Right, I guess so. I have been very vocal about it and outspoken on purpose, because, well, look, for a lot of reasons, you start having certain obstacles with certain people, and relationships change and assignments start changing, and you start paying attention to what was going on. And, you know, I think in any job, you're always going to have conflicts, right? There's always going to be some jerk. It's not illegal to be a jerk. You just, you know, unfortunately have to deal with them.
Right.
I really have never had to deal with that before. I have worked with some incredible people at every stop where I've been. Respectful, encouraging, team players. And I will say, for the most part, that's what I had at Golf Channel. I worked with so many great people, and I hate that a lot of what I've been through has been overshadowed by the good people, because I still talk to so many of those people. People still come to my house. We still play golf together. We do cookouts. But the focus of it really has been, it's centered around a couple of things. The conflict, I guess, that I had with Chamblee, which I still don't know why we had a conflict. I mentioned my time at the Big Ten Network and all the great analysts and being around people, even at Golf Channel. I mean, you sit there and watch golf with these people and you're respectful and you enjoy each other. Well, Chamblee from the get-go didn't like me for some reason. I don't know if maybe it's because I, you know, actually have an opinion about golf or whatever his beef was with me, but it never got better. And the powers that be, I've been very outspoken about Molly Solomon, the executive producer, who hired me. I mean, that's the unfortunate part. I mean, I went in there thinking, wow, I'm going to work for a woman. This is awesome. This is, you know, if anything happens that doesn't seem quite fair, I want to ask for more assignments or whatever, she'll be somebody who I can talk to. And, well, the longer that I was there, the more roadblocks that you saw come up, not just with me, but other women not getting promoted, not getting opportunities, and speaking out for them. And the women who were outspoken got a lot of pushback, and I was one of them. And look, I'll say this, I could spend all day talking about it, but you know my background in golf, and I appreciate you saying that. But when the women's NCAAs were going to Fayetteville, Arkansas, my hometown, where I not only played college golf, but was the first scholarship player in program history. I wrote a letter to the NCAA on behalf of the Blessings and the University of Arkansas to get NCAAs there. It was a big deal for me. I had always hosted the women's NCAAs. My reviews never had anything negative about that. It was always positive. It was, even Molly said, you know, thanks for doing all these things for women's golf that you're doing. I would hand out the Player of the Year award, the Annika Award, at various locations around the country. Annika would ask me to come speak. I was fully immersed in it. Instead of somebody sitting down and saying, you know, Lisa, we've decided to change direction, let's have a talk or, you know, whatever, they send out this mass scheduling email, and I find out from the scheduling email that I am no longer the host for that year at Arkansas, that I will be a reporter, which I've never done before. And George Savarikas was going to host the women's and the men's.
Wow. Okay.
And I was furious. And after a few of the things that had started to happen a little bit, as a result, I think of the relationship with Chamblee and going to Molly's husband, who is running production now. It was the craziest setup ever. I still don't know how that happened in at that corporate level, to have a husband and wife tandem like that, because the minute that you upset the husband, you upset the wife. And
yeah,
now your job's in jeopardy. And that's what happened. And they took me off of it. I went in to try to talk to her husband about it. He screamed at me about Chamblee and all. It was crazy. Like, I still can't wrap my head. I wish that I had a video of it so people could watch it. Really, it's something that you would put on some sort of Dateline show, looking at it going, how does this happen in a workplace, especially corporate workplace?
Yeah.
It was personal. I knew that it was. I knew that there was something or those people to do something I think it was just more of a personal thing. Like, we're going to, this is how we make her pace or whatever it is. I don't know. It kind of, it's hard to explain in a short amount of time, but I will tell you this. When I found out that I was taken off of NCAAs, my dad was the first person who said it. He goes, "Lisa, you need to start looking for another job." He said, "because this makes absolutely no sense. They've never come to you and said anything about doing this. They've never critiqued your performance that wasn't up to par. There was no indication." And 1 week earlier, I had gotten a call about going into the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame, Golf Hall of Fame. There are all these positives going on, and then this happens.
Right.
And I was crushed. I was devastated, but I was also angry. And I knew at that point that this downward spiral that I was on, that I had seen other women go on, had to stop. And I had to do something about it. And we're in the process of doing something about it. And I hope that some good comes from it, because there's been a lot of bad. And there are a lot of changes that need to take place at Golf Channel in order to make it a better and equitable place for people to work.
I have noticed as an outsider, now I've, you know, full disclosure, I've interviewed Jerry and Karen. I've interviewed Kay. I've interviewed Frank, but he's no longer there over the, you know, the years doing this show. And now, you know, you've graced us here today. And I say that truly, not glibly. I'm just really great to talk to you. And the thing with Golf Channel is, especially the in-studio folks, they kind of run those folks through there. I mean, you got Brandel, and when Justin Leonard's sitting there, you got, you know, John Cook or whoever. Now you've got Amanda sitting there. I used to watch Amanda play up here in Portland when she was on tour years and years ago. In fact, I got a video of her doing an interview with me telling me how much she likes to eat ice cream. So I might, that might resurface someday. You never know.
There
but,
you go.
But they just seem to kind of run people through. And then all of a sudden they're not there anymore. And I don't know. I don't get that. I'm sorry. I just don't get it. And
I don't think that used to be the case. I think that there was actually a pretty steady on-air team for a long time. And I think a lot of that started shifting when Molly and NBC came on board. I mean, it really felt like a family. And I think that if you talk to a lot of those folks like Gary Williams and Charlie Reimer and a lot of the people who have been there for a long time, that's how they felt about Golf Channel for so long. And even the people behind the scenes.
Yeah.
A great long-standing production team for the most part. I mean, there's a small group that also needs to go, but for 95%, 90% of the people who work at Golf Channel are great. But I do think that back in the Arnold Palmer days when they set it up, and I think you've interviewed Keith Urschlin, I think that I've seen that. I think that Keith would probably tell you that they really built it as a family. And
yes,
the LPGA crew out there, I know that they still operate as a family. Jerry, Karen, Kay, a lot of those folks, Tom, right, they've been there for a long time. And when you're around them, it does have that family.
They're all great to be around, chat with, talk to, you know, whatever. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Lisa Cornwell. Talk some more a little bit about Golf Channel and what she's doing right now, right after this on Grilling at the Green. Hi, everybody. It's JT, and this is a special version of Grilling at the Green. Grilling at the Green is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
I let it fall.
Welcome back to Grilling at the Green. I'm JT, and today we're talking with Lisa Cornwell, formerly of the Golf Channel. And you're taking steps, you said, in the last segment to try to help out, correct that a little bit. You don't need to go into details, and you probably can't, but is that progressing forward for you?
It is. I think it's been slowed down a little bit because of COVID, but there is an investigator working the case. We've been able to communicate with her, and yeah, it progresses. I mean, it progressed pretty quickly after I sort of made my story public, and all these women reached out to me, and some men, I will say. And it's eye-opening. And I've said this time and time again that, you know, as bad as my story has been and unfortunate, there are so many people whose stories are worse. I mean, I was lucky to be in a position to be able to take some time and focus on this and really pursue it. A lot of people signed NDAs and their health insurance is tied up in that, and they're afraid of speaking out or doing anything because that'll be taken away.
Sure.
I get now, Jeff, why people don't do this. It's a hard process. They come after your character. They come after you personally. They do anything that they can to try to discredit you. And you just have to remember why you're doing it and why it matters. And every day something reminds me of that. And I try to stay focused on that. But yes, we're going along nicely, and nicely is the wrong word, but it's progressing slowly. It's a slow process, but there's a lot to dive into, so I can understand why it takes so long.
Yeah. And good on you for standing up and doing it. I mean, truthfully, I've been in those positions, not parallel to yours, but similar, put it that way. And I had to stand up a couple times, and a couple times I got knocked down, and a other couple times, you know, I stood up and made it through across the finish line, so to speak. But
yeah, they try to knock you down, and then certain people who think you're just this disgruntled employee will say certain things. I had somebody on Twitter Janello started attacking me because he's such good friends with Molly, but one of his followers saying that I needed to get mental help, and you know, Janella coming out and saying that I was never good at my job and that's what happened. I mean, first of all, who says that? There are a lot of people who I think may not be good at their jobs. I would never say that publicly just because you don't do that. You don't, I mean, here I have a travel guy calling me out on my reporting skills. But
right.
It's amazing what people will do and the hateful things that they will say when all you're trying to do is stick up for yourself and mainly also stick up for a lot of women who are unable to stick up for themselves. I think that's at this point what matters more to me than anything.
Absolutely. Lisa, what are you doing now? Are you just working on that full time, or are you doing some freelance work, or what are you doing?
I'm working on a book that is very important to me.
Sure.
Not only just detailing a lot of the things that I've been through in my past, but a lot of the stuff that's happened with the channel and what can be done to make all of this better. I'm still doing some freelance work for the PGA Tour, for PGA Tour Live, and I'm really grateful to them because you can get ostracized in this business immediately for speaking out. And I have seen that in some scenarios, certain things that opportunities that I've had before that have been taken away or just have gone away. And that's okay. I mean, I expected it. I did, but I'm grateful that the PGA Tour has still allowed me to do work with PGA Tour Live, and it's great. I mean, they have such a great environment. You can tell that the stuff that they talk about in terms of bringing in more women and minorities, and you know, they kind of have this no jerk policy. Like, nobody can be a jerk. It's an unwritten rule, but it exists. I mean, everybody there is just happy to be there, even though they're long hours.
Yep.
They're very pleasant. They're good people. The egos are checked at the door. It's great, and it has been a good experience and a great way for me to still stay in the game too.
Well, I think that's great, and I certainly would miss you if you weren't doing that stuff. I would. We've never met in person, but I would miss you on the air seeing that stuff.
Well, I hope we do one day.
We will.
You can grill for me.
I will do that. That's one thing I know I can do, put it that way, and tell really tacky jokes, but that's okay.
That's right. No, I like that. That's
okay.
Perfect.
Lisa Cornwell, thank you. Lisa is going to stick around for the after hours. So if you didn't catch everything in the regular show. You can catch it on the podcast when it airs, but also the after hours, which is always fun. But Lisa, it's been a real privilege, and I thank you for taking the time to be with us today and enlightening our listeners.
My pleasure, Jeff. Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
No worries.
Grilling at the Green is produced by JTSD Productions, LLC, in association with Salem Media Group, all rights reserved.